We're taking a few minutes now to follow up on an issue that arose on our show last week. When you read a memoir, do you assume that everything in the book has really happened? Or do you expect that the writer has taken certain artistic liberties? Our book critic Maureen Corrigan talked about this question last week when, instead of reviewing a new book, she discussed her reaction to a new controversy about the author of the revered memoir Fierce Attachments. Vivian Gornick's 1987 memoir is about her relationship with her mother. 2 weeks ago, Gornick spoke at Goucher College to students in a master's program for creative nonfiction. Many of these students are already professional writers. Gornick explained that some of her writing did not describe events exactly as they actually happened. She said she had composed some scenes and conversations in the memoir, and that some scenes were composites of two or more incidents. After reading an article in Salon magazine about Gornick's seminar, Maureen said that Gornick broke the autobiographer's pledge to tell the truth. Maureen also said that she hadn't been this disheartened since historian Doris Kearns Goodwin was accused of plagiarism, or Benjamin Wilkomirski's Holocaust memoir was revealed to be a fraud. Vivian Gornick asked us if she could respond with her point of view about the responsibilities of the memoirist. She called us from Yaddo, the artist colony in upstate New York.
A memoir is a story taken directly from the raw material of a writer's own life and shaped into a piece of experience that can hold meaning for the disinterested reader. What actually happened is only material. What the writer makes of what happened is everything. To state the case briefly, memoirs belong to the category of literature, not of journalism. It is a misunderstanding to read a memoir as though the writer owes the reader the same record of factual accuracy that is owed in newspaper reporting or in literary journalism. What is owed is only the ability to persuade that the narrator is honestly trying to get to the bottom of the experience at hand. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about memoir writing at Goucher College before a group of writing program students and their teachers. At a question and answer period afterward, I was bombarded with questions that had more to do with the literal actuality of the events behind my own memoir than with any of the writing questions I had assumed the talk would generate. In the course of responding to these questions, I casually said what I had said many times before, that on a few occasions in the book, I made a composite out of the elements of two or more incidents, none of which had been fabricated, for the purpose of moving the narrative forward. These words were taken as a confession on my part, and a student in the audience rushed off to send the scandalous news to Salon magazine. Whereupon, Fresh Air's book critic subsequently denounced me on this program, comparing me with those other liars, Benjamin Wilkomirski, Doris Goodwin, and Jason Blair. The giveaway here is this trio of names. I, a memoirist who composed, mind you, not invented, a narrative drawn entirely from my own experience, and being compared to a psychopath, a plagiarizing historian, and a dishonest newspaper reporter. These wildly inappropriate analogies demonstrate sadly that memoir writing is a genre still in need of an informed readership.
Vivian Gornick is the author of Fierce Attachments and The Situation in the Story, The Art of Personal Narrative. She was responding to a commentary by our book critic Maureen Corrigan. We asked Maureen to give her reaction.
Gornick and I are in agreement that the person who writes the autobiography is not the same as the person who lives the life, and that memoirs are works of literature. I said so last Tuesday. Where we disagree is on the issue of responsibility, specifically the responsibility a seemingly conventional memoir like hers has to its readers. Each and every autobiography instructs its readers on how to read it. Many famous autobiographies, like Mary McCarthy's Memories of a Catholic Girlhood and Gertrude Stein's Autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, intermingle fact and fiction, condense scenes, play with chronology, or otherwise acknowledge the indeterminacy of absolute truth that thinkers from Freud to Foucault have taught us is a defining condition of modernity. These autobiographies are explicit about their indirect efforts to capture experience on the page. Other autobiographies include a prefatory note stating that some scenes or characters have been fictionalized. But when the writer of a memoir or an autobiography doesn't provide one of these ambivalent signals, readers tend to take her at her word. They assume she's forged her art out of a good faith accounting of her life, as she honestly understood and remembered it. Yes, what the writer makes of what happened, as Gornick says, will determine a work's power as art. Thus, even a memoir found to be wholly fictitious can stand as an artistic creation. But the truth, always imperfectly evoked, attaches readers to other lives actually lived across barriers of time and space, race and gender, and attaches the writer to the genre's ancestral origins in Augustine's and Rousseau's outsized efforts to, however impossibly, wholly know themselves. In its steely unattainability, the truth demands either an acknowledgement from the autobiographer that it will be playfully deconstructed, or a utopian determination to get it right, even if, inevitably, it turns out to be somewhat wrong. It adds insult to injury to be told by the autobiographer in question that in accepting the conventional autobiographical contract that the writer is indeed trying to write the truth, you as a reader are a dope.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.